This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Comes out of a piece of commentary from Zurairi, AR of the Malay Mail, and it's about Datuk Sri Najib Razak and his attempts to tap into rempit culture in order to rebrand himself as, you know, kind of a hero for the working class.
So a recent video shows him clad in a black parka, black jeans and black sneakers. He was recorded over the weekend revving up a black and red Yamaha moped that is all the rage with youth right now. So as he pumped the throttle, the crowd cheered wildly, possibly inscribing a place for the former Prime Minister in the Malaysian Hall of Memes, and perhaps even back into the hearts of the working class after his fall from grace last GE.
So if you're wondering how all of this came together, it was staged after a casual Meet the People session in the Malay majority in Shah Alam, which featured a caricature of Najib riding that same bike, which then is why he assumed that pose in real life. And the event was headlined Malu Apa Bosku, Why the Shame Boss in Malay, and the bike's registration plate, which was also basically Bosku, underscores, you know, kind of what this whole episode is aiming to achieve.
So the tagline Malu Apa Bosku refers to a reply made by Najib in a now viral video of him alongside a long haired man calling out Boss Kita or our boss. And the phrase has now not only turned into a rallying cry among the supporters of the Pekan MP, but has also entered popular culture.
We'll see how far this viral pose it was posted on his Facebook page, and in another troll post on Monday where he asked for fuel reimbursement from Pakatan Harapan in a dig, of course, at the transport payment that we've seen for its Cameron Highland volunteers, he was shown riding Pillion Sands helmet. But how interested he actually is in riding culture remains unclear.
But Najib's constant reference to riding may well endear him to the blue-collar community as he attempts to change himself into a champion of the working class. Really a far cry from the scorn he received after the 1MDB scandal broke.
Zurairi pointed out that this might make it seem as if some Malaysians have already forgotten, the whole multi-million ringgit bespoke bags from the House of Bijan, other luxury goods that we saw seized from his family residence less than a year ago. But Najib might want to take it easy with all these Facebook posts.
So his recent Facebook trolling might be, he might want to take it easy because recent posts have betrayed his privileged lifestyle. On Thursday, he posted a photo buying several cups of Starbucks coffee, another photo of him shopping for groceries a few days ago with his youngest son, Ashman, previously linked to his quinoa gaff, was taken at the upscale Mercato supermarket, not Giant, Maidin, NSK, or even a Tesco.
So there is that. And the thing that we took away from this, or the thing that I found most intriguing was, firstly, the reinvention, right? It's such a huge gap from all those piles and piles of bags and watches and cash that we saw emerging, and that made headlines for days and weeks, to this man of the people, I ride motorcycles, hey kids, tell me which motorcycle I should buy. As well as just, I've noticed that basically, much as it pains me to say it, he's pretty good at social media.
He is. And I think if you look at his Facebook profile of late, Rosmah has kind of taken a step back. She's not really in the limelight anymore. And I think because in the past, she's always been like, him and Rosmah together have always been associated with the largesse and the extravagance of their lifestyle. Rosmah was more of a lightning rod that attracted all that negative attention because whatever she was wearing, it's easy to tell what an expensive handbag was, but if Najib was wearing a $100,000 watch, it'd be harder to tell.
For me, it comes down to the fact that we're seeing somebody be very adept at speaking the language of social media. I mean, politicians using social media is not a new thing.
Yeah.
But politicians using social media in a very sort of, in a way that understands the way the internet works, the way the internet speaks. I found that very interesting, particularly as we see somebody in the process of trying to really reinvent an image that was kind of at the lowest point possible. So we wanted to kind of get behind this idea of rebranding, this idea of politicians understanding how to use the internet really fundamentally. So we'll be speaking with Zaharom Nain, Professor of Media and Communication Studies at the University of Nottingham, right after this. Keep it locked on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are taking a look at, well, the potential rebranding of former Prime Minister Najib Razak from Man of Birkins and Bijan to Man of the People and Bikes. We have on the line Zaharum Nain, Professor of Media and Communication Studies at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Zaharum, thanks for joining us. Well, I guess we have to start with this. Is this rebranding working?
Well, working in what sense, actually? Working to make him popular? I doubt it very much. Like his YouTube, I don't know whether you remember his YouTube Kopitiam conversation with KJ Khairi just before GE14. He's really a lousy actor. And that's saying a lot when you consider that many of our so-called actors are really lousy. Working to get him off the hook as regards the charges against him, even more doubtful. He needs to face the law to prove his innocence, not a band of rampage. Yeah? If you notice how the red shirts and other gangsters who swore allegiance to him before GE14, they all seem to have disappeared now. It's the same with these working class groups he's trying to be nice with. Yeah, Ajit Gore didn't work. Bosku too will fail. It's terribly condescending, indeed desperate too, for him to try to be a working class hero now. The working class may join him and enjoy his antics right now, but they're not stupid, and he's no Robin Hood. He's trying to come across as a working class person, which he's not. I think everybody knows that. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, possibly even gold spoon in his mouth. Yeah, and nothing that he does will remove that image of him being, you know, upper class. Yeah. So if he's going to go down there, and then it just shows that, you know, and then he comes up with this Starbucks thing, and he goes to this high-class supermarket, the name of which I've not heard before. Yeah, so it just shows the contradiction there, that he's not able to continue with this role, as it were. Yeah, he cannot continue play it out in actuality. Yeah, so... there's a contradiction that's there, and it just shows that he, no matter how he tries, yeah, I think people will still remember the police taking out all those things from his apartments and all that, and taking an amount of money that was removed from his place. So that image is very, very strong. So he can try whatever he wants now, you know. But I don't think it'll work.
Will this be an effective way of changing the Malaysian public's perception towards our former PM?
Well, if that's what his PR team is telling him, they ought to be sacked. It will take much, much, much more than these amateurish theatrics to change people's perception of him. He's in a deep, deep hole at the moment, and he's not about to climb out of it by being a cardboard actor. But I guess caught in such a situation, one would be desperate enough to try anything. People are amused, people are happy, people are, you know, we must remember that we are, you know, there's this whole feudal thing. Oh, I'm with this top politician. People like to be seen. Okay, fine. But so what? You know, I mean, it's one thing getting the support of the people for them to say, you're innocent. That's one thing. Yeah, but to what he's doing now is actually making people, amusing them with him being in the spotlight, as it were, yeah, coming down to their level, as it were. Yeah? I seriously do not think that this attempt at being popular, one, will work. People might be amused, yeah? But being popular is another thing altogether. I seriously do not think it will work. But like I said, good luck to him.
With that said, do you think that it's likely we're going to see more politicians doing this, attempting to tap into youth and internet culture?
Well, first, after Obama's success and Trump's con job the last time around, we can see that, yes, more politicians here as elsewhere will try to use the internet and also address youth. But success will depend on prevailing socioeconomic conditions and also, of course, access to the internet. Yeah, Tun Mahathir used the net quite effectively for GE14, mainly out of necessity, as the opposition, as expected then, was virtually blocked out of the mainstream media. But there must be an understanding of the culture, and in Najib's case now youth, you're attempting to address and convince. Otherwise, as in Najib's case, in trying to be daddy cool, I call it, yeah, or he might call it, you end up being like daddy fool.
Would you say it's a fine line to strike between being relatable and pandering?
Well, under other circumstances, perhaps that could be asserted, yeah, that there is this fine line between relatable and pandering. In this case, at least for me, it's not even pandering. It's just sheer desperation. Yeah, it's quite sad, actually. This is a scenario. His troops evidently have abandoned him, and many are also in the same deep ravine that he's in. So he can either give up altogether or take up this hobby of acting and trying to be one of the people. Yeah, it's like a tragic, poorly acted Malay drama in his case.
And you referenced Donald Trump earlier. With, you know, the rise of politicians like Donald Trump, how have the way politicians communicated on social media changed?
Well, it seemed that imagery has become more and more important for these politicians than substance. Yeah, bite-sized information, easily digested, seems to be what these politicians are concerned about. But at the end of the day, however, I do believe that the success of these techniques would still depend on the delivery of promises. Or else, essentially, it becomes a case of NATO, N-A-T-O, no action, talk only.
So with the format of social media allowing for the use of memes and snappy taglines and language, has a politician's social media presence become more or almost as important as their actual policies?
Well, looking at the situation since G14 with some politicians, I won't name them, it would seem that their media presence actually dictates how their policies are seen by people, yeah, or if they're seen at all, how they're depicted by the media. And this is not just social media. Even before, with the mainstream media and so on and so forth, the imagery that's provided by the media, these are important aspects of how policies are seen, yeah? So, yes, I would say social media presence is important. Media presence is important. Using the media is important. And I think quite a number of our politicians need to be aware of that. I mean, they should get their press people to understand that they ought not to speak as though, you know, that they know everything and then make mistakes. I'd rather they don't speak than speak nonsense or be seen as speaking nonsense, yeah? Yes, social media presence has become important, but not as important as policies, I would say, but it's important in putting across the benefits of those policies, yeah? People need convincing, but at the end of the day, that media presence would effectively need to be corroborated with actual policy decisions. Yeah.
Zaharam, thank you so much for being with us today. That was Zaharam Nain, Professor of Media and Communication Studies at the University of Nottingham, discussing, I suppose, the current rebranding efforts that we're seeing from former Prime Minister Najib Razak as man of the people, man of motorcycles, man of memes. Do you think that this rebranding is working? Do you think that we're going to see more politicians entering this sort of meme-based internet space? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're still getting messages about cleaning up at fast food places. Nick says, I think the fast food management plays a major role, putting up instructions on where to put the cutlery. I know that society should be mature enough to know how to deal with this, but I think instructions and rules go a long way. Malaysian students get this in schools. Why not have it in public places too?
Makes sense. If you want someone to practice good behaviour, you might want to remove as many frictions and as many obstacles as you can.
And then we've got this from Alicia, which is a message that is quite accurate but also somewhat dark, saying that honestly, if Malaysians want to leave the mess on the table after eating their fast food, let them. The mess accumulates, which will be annoying for the next customer, but then it creates that lesson that will encourage customers to clean up after themselves in the future. I think this makes sense, but I also think people have an extremely high tolerance for mess.
Yeah, I don't think it'll necessarily work because, well, it wouldn't work for restaurants because they don't want to appear like they don't ever clean up.
Yeah, right? That's very true. We've got this from Voon Voon on the issue of Malaysia being a world being a developed nation, saying we have everything. We have first-class places, third-class places. We have first-class people and third-class people, followed by the peace sign.
Well, yeah, I guess then we'll never quite reach a complete first-world nation, but maybe a mix of those two.
OSK says, heard a lot of talk about mamak and fast food places. I would mention the worst sight is a table at a Chinese restaurant after a family has eaten a 6-course meal. I wonder if people realise and see a connection against their first-world habits at fast food restaurants. And yes, I completely get what you mean, especially in seafood restaurants. I think yes. We have all seen this. So, yeah.
If not seafood, then it's chicken wings or chicken bones.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Even talking about it now, I can envision it. But yeah, no, that's true. And that's why we've kind of tried to extend it to talking about eating out in general.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's just a problem everywhere. Shah, on the topic of aliens, says, aliens might be listening to BFM right now, followed by a laughing, crying emoji. Shah, we wish. I wish. I would be honoured.
I wish that it would send us a message too.
Yes, I would be frightened, but yes. Muniandi says, we are the aliens. Life is everywhere. Intelligent life is another story. Intergalactic travelling life forms will be a rarity due to limitations caused by dark matter. And the octopuses were the first intelligent life form on Earth. They were ahead of us much earlier, and they have much more genes than we do.
And, you know, I'm not sure if like people have seen all those videos with the octopuses trying to... Octopi trying to escape from their cages and all that. It's
often working, actually.
Often working is quite creepy.
I think octopuses are wonderful. I think they're just incredible creatures. So I agree with Muniandi's view. Brendan says, do I believe in aliens? I would need a clear definition. Can microorganisms on another planet that have yet to be discovered be construed as aliens? There is so much yet to be discovered about the universe. Should everything that we don't know yet be deemed alien? And as for whether we're becoming a developed country, our curiosity as to whether aliens exist in the world is us seeking the path of knowledge. Our care for cleanliness links to our concern for others. This behavioral change, us talking about these issues, is the sign of a developed country. Brendan, thank you for that optimism. That's nice.
And very, very sweet.
Yes, it is. Jolin says, remember Najib's comment about how he eats quinoa? This is, of course, to do with what we just talked about in terms of Najib Razak's attempted rebranding. When everyone else was struggling with the rising cost of living, he was so oblivious living his high lifestyle. Good luck to him trying to act now. Nobody's going to fall for it.
I'm not sure if that might be the case. You know, if you go to his Facebook page, you will find that most of the top comments are in support of him. Now, I don't know if they're actual users or if they are BN UMNO cyber troopers, but it's quite disconcerting if you read the comments on his page.
I would like to think that we have longer memories. I think Jolin is referring to the fact that, yeah, I mean, yes, we should all remember those times where he said things and we were all, are you serious? Are you really saying that? But I wonder whether that is the case. I wonder whether, you know, as time progresses, we are going to just be attracted by what's immediate, right? So long as he continues to kind of push this narrative. I'm not saying that everybody will forget, but enough may. And so, yeah, we'll have to see. I hope not. Life says, politicians and social media, 3 words, strawberry nasi goreng. Nah.
Would you eat that?
What?
Would you eat the strawberry nasi goreng?
You mean the strawberry nasi goreng with anchovies and soy sauce?
Yes.
And cabbage, the thing that sounded so delicious. And yes, so there is that. Dr. RK, breaking news, the rationale for Trump wanting to build that wall to keep out aliens. Dr. RK has been in touch with us pretty consistently throughout the show on aliens. So some strong pro-alien views being made. You can, of course, join in the conversation. Text or WhatsApp us. 018-789-8899 is that number. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be back after the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.